This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
It all came about in an European Times article, March 11th, 2013. Here was the headline: World Trembles as U.S. Becomes Greatest Energy Nation in History. It was the result of a startling report prepared by Russia's energy minister for President Putin, stating the United States is preparing to overturn the entire global economic system as it nears becoming the greatest energy-producing nation in all of human history. Well, that was then. And then came Joe Biden. Welcome to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And all of the massive energy that had been developed and was moving forward as of 2013, prepared for the entry of Donald J. Trump in 2016, when he unleashed America's ability to produce oil and gas as never before. When Joe Biden came on board, he completely reversed all of it. And we ended up being, shall we say, a virtual debtor nation concerning oil and gas, having gone off to Venezuela, nonetheless, to try to find enough energy to support American business and American lives. Why does this matter? Is this just a matter of Democrat versus Republican politics? Or is there something deeper that's involved? I suggest that there's something not only deeper that's involved, but profoundly deeper that's involved and has been hiding behind the scenes amid all of the political bickering back and forth that clouds the ability of the American people and her leaders to understand the gravity of that which is taking place. And so I welcome you to the program. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. Whether you realize it or not, the reality is that the nation that controls the world's energy supply controls the world. That's the belief. The nation that controls the world's energy supply controls the world. I want you to think about this very, very, very deeply for a moment. Try to get away from the shot heard around the world. Try to get away from the attempted assassination. Try to get away from all of that and take a fresh look at the dynamics that are really taking place. Because whatever that shot was and why ever it came and from wherever it came other than through the 20-year-old young man that actually fired the shots, it ultimately links to a much, much bigger picture. And that bigger picture also connects to energy. And it also connects to global governance. In fact, global governance is the goal. No matter where you turn with regard to all of these various issues that are taking place, including the attempted assassination, they're all directly or indirectly related to global governance. Another way of expressing the intent to establish a one world government, or the Great Reset, as the World Economic Forum has so euphemistically described. But global governance is the goal. It's driving the economic, the political, and the military machinations of the leading nations and confederations of those nations, often supported by religious persuasion. But there's one essential that binds their respective goals and lubricates, you should say, the engines of their lust for power, and that is oil. Now, politically correct voices out there, particularly within the Democrat Party and more liberal areas of the thinking of not only the country, but the world, particularly the Western world, there's a cry for alternative energy. But in reality, oil remains the indispensable energy source making the wheels of the world turn. And its cousin is gas. So in order to deeply comprehend the sheer magnitude of this matter, we have to look at the issue through the eyes, you might say, the viewpoint of the primary players in this epic battle for globalism and the battle for King of the Mountain. And that's what we're going to do here today on Viewpoint. You say, well, how can that be so relevant? Friends, it's more relevant than you could possibly imagine. Just yesterday, I received an email from Israel, from Jerusalem. Zion Oil and Gas is beginning to make its final effort to drill there in the Megiddo leasehold that has been obtained from the nation of Israel. John Brown has led the organization, the company called Zion Oil and Gas, for 30 years. And they are making a major effort now, even amid all of the rocket assaults from Hezbollah coming in from the north. They're making the major effort now to drill and follow through with other drilling efforts there in the Megiddo leasehold. Now, you say, Megiddo, that sounds familiar. Well, it should, because Megiddo is the area where the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. Har Megiddo. Get it? Har Megiddon, the Mount of Megiddo, the Hill of Megiddo. And this drilling effort is right there under Mount Carmel, right there below where Elijah confronted the 400 prophets of Baal. And they are making their, what they believe perhaps to be their final effort to secure and manifest oil and gas for Israel in these end times. That's the goal. Now, I'm not here to promise you that they're going to accomplish that. On the other hand, I believe that there's significant reason to believe that either they will accomplish it or God will do an end run and accomplish it on his terms, in his way, through what you might call divine fracking. That's my conviction. I cannot give you a thus saith the Lord on it. But what I can give you is a prophecy in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38 and 39, where it talks about what is frequently referred to as the Battle of Gog and Magog. The Battle of Gog and Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, generally considered to be Russia, will confederate with Persia, that's Iran, and Libya, and many other nations with them to attack Israel to get or take a spoil. In the end, we're in the latter days of the end times. Are we there yet? Stay tuned, friends. So much to talk about here today on Viewpoint.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Well, Donald Trump said in his his acceptance speech before the Republican National Committee that he intended to restore America's energy dominance. Now, back in 2013, the EU Times came out with a headline, World trembles as U.S. becomes greatest energy nation in history. Now, who was concerned about this? Russia. The startling report was prepared by Russia's energy minister for President Putin. And it said the United States is preparing to overturn the entire global economic system as it nears becoming the greatest energy producing nation in all of human history. That was then. Donald Trump took advantage of that opportunity in 2016 when he was inaugurated as the 45th president of the United States. But after his term, Joe Biden took over and completely undid everything that Donald Trump had done. He wanted to diminish America's oil production. He wanted to diminish America's gas production. He wanted to reduce our emergency supplies and use them up in order to try to secure lower gas prices to make the people feel like it wasn't going to hit them so hard. But it has hit them hard. It's another form of inflation, except that it's more than just inflation. It actually was caused directly and intentionally by the Democrat Party and its policies under Joe Biden. The very same policies that Barack Obama had attempted to institute to reduce America's oil production and supplies, all under the supposed reasoning of climate control or climate change. Now, the problem with this is that the real reasons were never disclosed. Climate change or control was what was presented on the front end as a means to try to catch the emotional energies of the American people and get them to cooperate. But behind that was a much greater agenda, a much greater goal, and that was the goal of converting the Western nations of the world away from sovereign states into a one-world government. And they believed that one of the best ways to do that would be to take away the energy power of respective states, countries like the U.S. or France or whatever, to take away their ability to independently exercise power, energy power, and to compel them to reduce their abilities so that they could be more easily merged together in a global consort or confederation that would govern all energy. So the reality is that what has happened since 2009, when Russia became the world's great exporter of oil, overtaking Saudi Arabia, is that the world has taken a complete circle back to Russia. Russia became the number one energy producer, oil producer, in 2009. By 2013, Vladimir Putin was telling the world in a shocking revelation that the U.S. was in the process of becoming the greatest oil and gas energy producer in the history of mankind. It was terrifying to Russia. Then, the Democrat Party in this country, led by Joe Biden, turned the tables from what had been expected worldwide, that the U.S. would become the premier energy producer, and gradually limited the U.S. and its corporations, its businesses, and so on, from producing that which would have continue to allow the U.S. to be the dominant energy producer. The net effect of that was to drive the spirit of globalism far more quickly and far more deeply than anyone had really expected. Now, here's the problem. The world's demand for oil is not diminishing, but accelerating dramatically. In fact, it's kind of a troubling, even terrifying issue for global thinkers. The amazing enormity of the potential catastrophic consequences of this hasn't escaped the conniving and incontinent aspirations of corporate and governmental power brokers that are seeking not only to protect their positions, but to advance power in hot pursuit of global control of black gold and its energy cousin gas. All right, so that's the opening statement, friends. About 12 minutes and an opening statement here so that you can get the bigger picture of what is transpiring. In my book, King of the Mountain, the Eternal Epic End Time Battle is a chapter titled Black Gold or The Great Game. It's called The Great Game, Black Gold and Global Governance. The book is worth the price just for that chapter. It's a $20 book, yours for $15, on our website, saveus.org. King of the Mountain, the Eternal Epic End Time Battle. Now, it's said that he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world. So the battle is ultimately for the Temple Mount. But in order to get there, the global-seeking nations of the world have to gain dominion over energy. So, it is said, he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world, but it's also said that he or the nation that controls the energy rules the world. Therefore, whoever controls the energy is deemed to be the one able to rule over the Temple Mount. Are you beginning to get the connection? Again, the book, King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic End Time Battle, $15. We'll put the $20 book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. I recently received some responses from some readers of that book who were absolutely blown away by what they found in that book. And bear in mind, that book was written in 2013, 11 years ago. But it is more relevant today than the day it was written. It's as if it laid out the portrait of exactly what was going to be happening, how it was going to happen, why it was going to happen, and it all linked to biblical prophecy. The battle for the Temple Mount. There is going to be someone who is going to rule the Temple Mount. It's going to be a globalist enterprise, and it's going to be headed up by a fella not so sweetly called the Antichrist. In other words, if you can connect the dots in your mind and in your heart, there is going to be a connection between the empowering of the Antichrist and the control of oil and gas. Forget about wind power. It can provide a certain amount of power, but for all practical purposes, it's a joke. It's not going to provide sufficient power for hardly anything, and neither is solar power. Oil and gas is what the name of the game really is. And it's been called the Great Game. The whole world, the power brokers of this world, are engaged in that great game. Now let's see what that looks like. At the end of last year, this article came out for the Russian Times. Russia sets new record for gas deliveries to China. Now, remember, in 2009, Russia had become the largest oil producer in the world, exceeded Saudi Arabia. By 2013, Vladimir Putin said the U.S. was becoming the global dominant producer of oil and gas, all energy in the world. But then came Joe Biden, and then came Russia's attack on Ukraine. After Russia's attack on Ukraine, because of a weakened United States and a weakened NATO and a weakened Joe Biden, then Joe Biden choreographed the Western nations to come after Russia with all kinds of sanctions and prohibit them from using and buying Russian oil and gas. Remember that? So what has Russia done in response? This is what people don't quite get. The Russian energy giant Gazprom set a new record for daily gas supplies to China through the Power of Siberia mega pipeline. Gazprom supplies natural gas to its leading trading partner under a long-term contract sealed with the China National Petroleum Corporation. The Power of Siberia is part of a $400 billion 30-year agreement between the Russian Gazprom and the Communist Party. On November 23rd last year, the supply of Russian gas through the Power of Siberia pipeline exceeded the daily contractual obligations. It set a new historical record of daily gas supplies to China. China currently gets most of its Russian gas through that pipeline, a section of the so-called Eastern Route, becoming the first pipeline supplying Russian fuel to the neighboring state of China. Supplies to China through that route will reach 22 billion cubic meters this year as Moscow continues to boost energy cooperation with Beijing. Well, China isn't exactly friendly with the U.S., notwithstanding the Biden family's interreaction economically with China for personal gain and profit. China is not our friend. So, are we excited about Russia now supplying China with oil and gas? Well, what is it doing? It is energizing China to continue to build its armaments and its economy to take over the U.S., which is their intended goal by 2050. They've already declared it. Russia is strengthened economically by the massive flow of money back from China to Russia for its gas and oil. Now, China then becomes dependent upon Russia, and Russia becomes dependent upon China. That means they are linked in a symbiotic relationship which they can hardly consider breaking, which means they have become mutual, shall we say, bedfellows against NATO, against the United States, and are being strengthened in that relationship precisely because, in response to the Ukraine war, our government caused the whole Western world to cut off Russian gas supplies to their sources. Oh, but we've just started. We've just started, friends. Wait till you hear the next. This is Viewpoint. You see, there's a reason why the Bible says in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that Russia and Persia and all of those nations are going to confederate together against Israel to take a spoil. Why?
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived, Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. We're talking today about geopetroleum politics and the role with regard to the establishment of a new global world Western order, and also the fulfillment of biblical prophecy as set forth in Ezekiel 38 and 39, called the Gog and Magog War. Some people think that the Gog and Magog War is the same as the Battle of Armageddon. I'm not convinced that that's true. I'm not going to argue the point with anybody, but I'm not convinced that it's true. I just don't think there's enough evidence to support that. But in any event, people will believe what they want to believe, and so we're not going to get into that. What we're going to get into is what the Scripture does say in Ezekiel 38 about the confederation, the secret confederation of nations, beginning with Gog and Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, coming out of an area of the world called Rus, or Rus. Now, it used to be called Kievan Rus, and we've talked about that here on this program. Kievan Rus. In other words, Kiev was the very heart and soul of the origin of Russia. And so we see playing out in the Russian-Ukrainian warfare an ancient heritage, an ancient history that has no definitive ultimate answer. And so it's a battle for dominion, a battle for control. In response to that, the Western world, in the name of protecting democracy, decided to put in almost $200 billion, around $200 billion, to encourage Vladimir Zelensky there in Ukraine to battle Russia and to take Russia down. In the process, we actually ended up driving Russia into the hands and arms of other players that were much bigger. The first one was China. Russia is the number one producer of oil and gas for China now. China does not have its own energy source. China used to go to Iran and some other nations, but now Russia is much more convenient, and Russia makes billions in order to service the Chinese needs. So where's that going? Well, that leads us to another big player. China is the second most popular nation in the world. Now, the first most popular nation in the world is India. So comes another article in May of this year from the Russian Times. Russian oil helping India save billions. Moscow has remained New Delhi's top supplier for months due to significant discounts it offers on its crude oil. India, as a result, has saved billions of dollars on oil imports in the past 2 years. The savings were due to increased purchases of Russian oil. In other words, the more you buy, the lower the price per gallon or per barrel. Moscow began offering large discounts on its crude to attract new markets following the loss of its traditional buyers due to the Ukraine conflict, as well as sanctions imposed on Russia by Western nations, including a $60 per barrel price cap on its oil. Well, India, though, is Asia's third biggest economy and the world's third largest oil consumer. It depends on imports to meet roughly 80% of its demand for crude oil. We're talking about India now. The share of Russian crude in India's oil import basket soared to about 36% between April of 2023 and February of 2024, from around 2% to 36%. That's huge. India's demand for Russian crude has remained stable even after the West's most recent efforts to enforce sanctions against India. India is thinking, you know what? We're too big to fail. We're the largest population country in the world. Our economy is the third largest in the world. We don't have to be all that concerned about these Western sanctions. We're going to get what we can get in the cheapest way we can get it, the highest volume we can get it, and establish those relationships. So India imports of crude from Russia spiked in April of this year to roughly 1.82 million barrels every day, with Moscow's deliveries once again outpacing those from India's traditional Middle Eastern suppliers like Iraq and Saudi Arabia. Indian purchases of Russian oil last month also exceeded those of China. So now we have China and Russia and India becoming the two major recipients of Russian oil and gas. The two largest nations by population in the world. China also is part of the BRICS nations that Russia and China established and forming an economic unit outside the Western world to work together outside the intended Western global government. And you can see the incredible change of geopolitical history right in front of our eyes, just in the last 2 years. Then comes this article, just yesterday, from the Russian Times. India under brazen pressure over energy ties with Russia. The foreign minister has called the South Asian nation a great power. India is under immense pressure from the West over its energy cooperation with Moscow. In other words, under Joe Biden and the global liberal globalist, Western globalist nations, they are losing their influence over India. Have already lost any influence they might have had over China, because the Biden administration has so compromised our relationships with China for personal gain that there's virtually nothing that we can do unless there's a radical change of administration. India says we're just acting based upon pragmatic interests after the U.S. and EU imposed sanctions against Moscow. New Delhi's increased Russian oil purchases have not only supported the country's growth, but have also prevented global oil prices from skyrocketing to $250 to $300 per barrel. Now, that is the statement from the Russian Times. It's just informational. It's not accusational, it's just informational. Now, let's tie some of this together a little bit more tightly. We now move away from China and from India and go back to the European Union. Did you know that about 40% of the oil and gas, the energy that ran the European Union, the nations of the EU, came from Russia? 35 to 40%. But 70% came of Germany's oil and gas came from Russia. 70%. Now, Germany was the number one industrial country of Europe. But Germany is in hard times right now. Very hard times. Just how hard? We're going to have to take a look at that. By the latest report coming. Now, before we do that, I want to make the book King of the Mountain available to you again. The Eternal Epic End Time Battle. A complete chapter, a lengthy chapter, 23, is called The Great Game, Black Gold and Global Governance. The reality is that the nation that controls the world's energy supply controls the world. I hope you'll stay tuned for the balance of the program, friends, because we're going to link these things together back again to Ezekiel 38 and 39, the Gog and Magog world war and the attack on Israel in the latter days to take a spoil. It's a $20 book, yours for $15 on our website, saveus.org, King of the Mountain. I can guarantee you've never read anything like it. Even a Jewish talk show host was so shocked by it that he brought me on for 7 weeks in a row to discuss it. That's how serious he considered it and how significant he considered it. Again, King of the Mountain on the website saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Again, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. The headline in the chapter, The Great Game, says the game gets serious. Indeed, Forbes magazine, one of America's leading business magazines, was blunt and came to the conclusion nobody wants to lose. The great game of oil is back. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Geopolitics is not called the great game without reason, wrote Charles Smith in his article, The Great Game, Geopolitics and Oil. The great game is afoot, he said, and no matter how we may disprove of the global empire, we would do well not to discount the cards it alone holds. the global game. The game of dominating the world's resources, nation states, and alliances. He said, is like a combination of chess and other games played simultaneously, with the threat of military conquest or defeat always hovering over the statecraft and financial game. There is only one nation state, he said, which can project hard power, and that's the U.S. By the way, this was written 13 years ago. Until the U.S. loses its currency hegemony, it can outbid any other great power for any resource. The U.S. will pursue oil and empire until the U.S. economy and dollar are no longer able to support an empire. Are you listening? Do you realize that Joe Biden just forfeited America's governance over the dollar, the petrodollar with Saudi Arabia? He forfeited that, which was key to America's continued survival economically in the world. You didn't know that? It was all over the news, but because of all of the other nitpicking kind of political stuff that goes on, the things that are most important get missed. And the people just don't connect. Because nobody's really connecting the dots. Nobody makes it meaningful. It's like a bunch of nonsense syllables, all spewed out there, and the average person can't connect. Oil pipelines are the new great game, friends. And it has also to do with Israel's existence. It does. Before we get to Israel, we got to go back to Europe. Here's the headline: energy costs push Germany to beg with hat in hand, said a Russian tycoon. Berlin's current economic policies are unlikely to lead to anything good, said a Russian businessman, a billionaire. Germany's latest fiscal policy decisions, coupled with persistently high energy costs, are likely to worsen the economic crisis in the country. He said the jump in power and gas costs for German businesses and ordinary Germans are pushing the once thriving major European economy to beg with its hat in hand. To beg whom? Russia, my friends, Russia. Last year, Germany and the broader EU faced an energy crisis, largely caused by the loss of Russian gas imports due to the Ukrainian-related sanctions against Moscow. High energy costs have been weakening Germany's economy, pushing up inflation, which prompted the government to hike interest rates, causing challenges in the manufacturing sector. See the echoing consequences of our response to the Ukrainian issue, of which we have very little real understanding. And so, if Germany is dependent and was dependent 70% on Russian oil and gas for all of its energy and its businesses and its manufacturing before the Ukraine war, just imagine where it is today. They've been robbing Peter to pay Paul, doing everything they can to barely survive. Germany has been drastically weakened. And its only dependency is ultimately on Russian oil and gas. So surreptitiously, even against Joe Biden's admonitions and warnings about sanctions, they've been taking Russian oil and gas. Some other European countries have as well. They are on the dole from Russia. Now, what are the consequences of that? If you were a German leader, and you knew that you were dependent at least 70% on Russian oil and gas for your survival, and you found that there was another issue, another situation that was going to seriously compromise the flow of that oil and gas and its pricing, what would you do? Where would you go? Would you go to Israel to help them out with their oil and gas situation, seeing that God had then miraculously supplied them with an amazing eruption of oil, just like he did with gas about 10 years ago out there in the Mediterranean, which rendered them energy independent, at least for gas purposes? What would you do if you were a German leader? Would you come against Israel? Would you align yourself with Russia? Would you align yourself with China? Would you align yourself with Turkey? Would you align yourself with Persia, in Iran, all of these oil-producing nations that are dependent on to keep the price of oil up in order to keep their militaries sharpened and building? What would you do? That, my friends, is the likely scenario, as far as I can see, of where this is all heading. It takes us back to Israel. Because, as the scripture says in Ezekiel 38 and 39, there is coming a moment. We're not told exactly when it is, but we are told this about it. We are told that it will take place in the latter days. Not the last days, but the latter days of the last days. Are we there yet? I believe we are. We are also told that it's going to be at a time when Israel is in relative peace, living in unwalled villages. Now, Israel has not been in relative peace after October 7th because of the attack from Hamas on the south and Hezbollah on the north. But before that, there was a legal ceasefire, and it was said that Israel was in the greatest season of peace that they had endured since their foundation in 1948. Unwalled villages in relative peace. Then these nations, Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, Persia, Iran, Libya, Togarma, Gomer, which I have a sneaking suspicion is related to the Germanic people, they will, because of their intense motivation over oil and gas, over energy, will come against Israel to take a spoil. Now, what might that spoil be? Well, people used to think it would be the minerals in the Dead Sea. As valuable as those minerals are, they don't begin to compare to the power of oil and gas, the motivational power of oil and gas, the geopolitical power of oil and gas, the compelling power of oil and gas. If Israel, by whatever means it shall occur, remember, the same God who could protect Donald Trump can also cause divine fracking there in Israel so that the tectonic movement of the plates will move in such a way that the oil that they already know is under the ground will be released at the propitious moment of world history to fulfill biblical prophecy. And that's what I believe is going to happen. Whether it happens as a result of the drilling of Zion oil and gas there in the Megiddo Valley, which is part of the Jezreel Valley, which is part of the entire 180-mile-long area running down the center of Israel that has been historic site of world battles. We don't know. What we do know is that something dramatic is going to take place there. What we do know is that those nations will confederate together secretly to attack Israel to take a spoil. Why? What would be their motivation? I want you to consider this. If Israel were to have such a revelation of and manifestation of oil in proportions that will shock the world, it would have the effect of instantly dropping the price of oil worldwide, wouldn't it? You infuse, you know, it's like inflation. You put more money in there, and everything else out there drops in value. So it would cause, shall we say, a inflationary value of oil, but or deflation, however you want to look at it. It's going to reduce the ultimate purchase price of oil dramatically overnight. Do you think that these oil and gas producing nations, Russia and Iran and Libya, are going to take that sitting down? And how about the nations that are getting their oil and gas from Russia, China and India? And how about Germany? Will Germany coalesce with Russia? I mean, after all, Germany's previous chancellor, Gerhard Schroeder, became the president of the Russian oil and gas company, Gazprom. Did you know that? I mean, these people are linked at the hip over oil and gas. So, you say, well, what does that mean to me? Well, it means that we're in a time where biblical prophecy is being fulfilled rapidly in front of our eyes, and if we had an eye to see and an ear to hear and a heart to understand, we could see where things were going, and we would begin to adjust our own minds and our own hearts to realize, like Donald Trump did when he found that he was within an inch of being killed, all of a sudden he said, it changed my view on life. You could sense that it changed his view on life when he gave his address that was much lower key than ever before. Did you sense that? He's laboring under the revelation that life is precious and it doesn't endure forever. And when you realize life is short, and when you realize, for instance, that biblical prophecy is taking place right in front of your eyes and you're not ready, you haven't prepared your family, you haven't prepared your congregation, my dear pastor friends. You have been lollygagging around, playing business as usual, just like the American government, and now we find ourselves on a precipice. In other words, people get ready. Jesus is coming. Soon will be coming home. That is, those who are ready. That's why Jesus gave several parables about being ready. Are you ready? Don't answer too quickly, my friends. Go back and read Jesus' parables. This is not a game. The oil and gas thing may be called the great game, but this matter of readiness for the coming of the Lord is not a game. Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint today. Again, the book, King of the Mountain, $15. We'll put the $20 book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Become a Parker, friends. Send those gifts by faith to Save America Ministries and tell others about the program, will you?
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.